This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Mary Louise Kelly.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. We're going to hear now a new development in the disastrous explosion at a West Virginia coal mine, one that left 29 miners dead. An NPR News investigation has uncovered evidence that a mine worker at the Upper Big Branch mine, acting on orders from a supervisor, disabled a monitor designed to measure methane gas levels. That incident happened 2 months before the explosion in April. Mine experts say cutting rock and coal without a working methane monitor is potentially dangerous and illegal. NPR's Howard Burkus reports.
Outside the Upper Big Branch mine on the morning of February 13th, it was cold and snowy. Miners heading to and from work could pick up roses or chocolates for their sweethearts at the annual Valentine's Day Bazaar in Whitesville, West Virginia. Miners underground were either mining coal or getting ready to mine. The crew working on the north side of the mine in Section 4 was preparing that area for mining. This was about 3 miles from the longwall hit 2 months later by a massive explosion. Three workers on the crew provided detailed accounts of that February morning. 24-year-old Ricky Lee Campbell is one of them.
Well, the day that I witnessed them do it, we wasn't running coal. They wasn't getting no production. And everybody was getting mad because the continuous miner kept shutting off because of the methane. So they shut the section down, and the electrician got into the methane detector box and rewired it so we could continue to run coal.
A continuous miner is a massive mining machine nearly as long as a school bus. Arms rise from it, holding a spinning 11-foot-wide drum embedded with carbide-tipped teeth. The drum can reach 10 feet to the roof of the mine, cutting rock and coal along the way. Sparks fly when it hits rock. Explosive methane gas tends to collect near the roof, so the machine has a methane monitor, and it's mounted as close to the spinning drum as possible. The monitor shuts down the machine as the gas approaches explosive levels. This continuous miner was cutting rock at the roof when it kept shutting down.
And that's when they done it. I asked them, what are you doing? And they told me, we're bridging a methane detector. We're bypassing, it's what they said.
Two other witnesses confirm the monitor was disabled. Both worry they'll be fired if they're named. Campbell has already been fired by Upper Big Branch owner Massey Energy. He has a whistleblower claim pending against the company based on other complaints about safety. All three witnesses are clear about this. The electrician was ordered to bridge the monitor by a mine supervisor who had to find somebody to describe the procedure by phone because the electrician didn't know how to do it.
The electrician said, please don't say nothing. He says, I'll lose my card if they find out. What's his electrician's card, you know? He knew it was dangerous. He knew he shouldn't have been doing it. But when somebody higher up telling you to do something, you're going to do what they say. And he just done his job and done what they said to do. And, you know, I was just a witness.
The electrician does not deny the incident took place but declined to be interviewed. Two of the witnesses don't believe dangerous levels of methane forced the monitor to shut down the mining machine. They say the monitor was simply malfunctioning. And they repeat a widespread misconception, which was articulated last month by Clay Mullins, a former Upper Big Branch foreman.
It does say in the law that if you got a methane monitor malfunction, you can bridge it out and you can run that machine for 24 hours, but the operator has to carry a methane detector and he has to take his checks, I think it's every 15 minutes.
Mullins lost a brother in the Upper Big Branch explosion. His belief is widely shared, but the law is clear. Mining machines must have working methane monitors and can't cut rock or coal without them. Handheld monitors are no substitute because the workers using them are way back behind the massive device. Bruce Dial is a former federal mine safety inspector and trainer.
They are probably 25 to 30 feet back from the face where the hand unit's being used. That means you've got 25 or 30 feet of area that could be building up methane. You could have an explosive atmosphere there before you ever know about it 30 feet back.
In a statement to NPR, the Mine Safety and Health Administration says that these actions, if true, would clearly violate the law and jeopardize the lives and safety of miners. Edward Clare spent 22 years as the chief lawyer for the agency before retiring last year.
What makes it criminal is that somebody actively takes steps to defeat the safety protection, and that should be prosecuted. You've put production over the safety of your employees.
Former Upper Big Branch foreman Clay Mullins was more direct last month when asked generically about bridging monitors.
That's something that I would not tolerate, because that methane monitors is life and death. That is a problem that you correct right away. That's protecting their life and stuff, you know.
Mullins says he never saw a methane monitor bridged in his 8 years at Upper Big Branch. That's true for most of the dozen miners we spoke with who also work there. A few, though, said they've seen it before, sometimes with a more rudimentary approach, plastic bags placed over the sniffing part of the monitor. So here's the key question. Was this incident in February isolated? Could something similar have happened the morning of April 5th, before the explosion that took 29 lives? Former Federal Inspector Bruce Dial responds this way.
It wasn't where the actual explosion occurred, in that section of the mine. But it still shows me that the attitude of the company, the attitude of the foreman and whoever else knew about this, all the way up to the superintendent or whoever, this is their attitude that production is the most important.
In its statement to NPR, a Massey Energy spokesman confirms that the bridging incident occurred, but says it was necessary to move the mining machine to a safe area for repair. It shut down, the statement says, in an area without protective roof support. This temporary bridging is permitted, but witnesses are clear. The machine continued to cut rock. The Massey spokesman also echoed board member and former chief operating officer Stanley Subaleski, who told us in May that he was astounded that the company's miners might disable monitors.
Because the company would never condone action like that. We would immediately fire anybody that if we heard of an action like that occurring. It's just not tolerated in the company.
The FBI is actively investigating the incident and has been for months. That and the witness accounts have former Mine Safety and Health Solicitor Edward Clare thinking this incident is neither benign nor isolated.
You can't help thinking that if you've discovered it one time, that it's indicative of an attitude of noncompliance, thumbing your nose at the law within that company.
And late yesterday, a subpoena arrived for Ricky Lee Campbell. He's been called to testify before a federal grand jury in Charleston, West Virginia, in 2 weeks. Howard Berkus, NPR News.
You can see a timeline of problems at Massey Energy Mines by going to npr.org.